Welcome back to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today we're going to talk about Beyonce once again. She released a new single called Break My Soul from an album called Renaissance that's dropping in July. And today we're going to irritate the Bayhive once again. Lots of symbolism to discuss. We're going to talk about Saturn, Great Reset, the housing crisis, it's in there. Alchemy, the metaverse, and of course the occult ritual that is entertainment. I've talked about Beyonce many times. In fact, I will put links in the show notes for just a few of the shows I've done. I've even written a book, an ebook. Is Beyonce in the Illuminati? It's on Amazon. It's on my Gumroad store. And I'm going to give it to you today. I'm going to give you a promo code where you can download it for free on my Gumroad store. It's a $6.99 value. So, hey, this is going to be very, very good. But you got to stick around to the end. That's where I'm going to tell you the big promo code. And I'll also put the links in the show notes because I know some of you are impatient. So while you're listening, you can just go get it. It's fine. I actually wrote that book a few years ago. Probably worth throwing some updates in because there's actually been a lot more since I released that book. So without further ado, let's get into it. Beyonce released a single called Break My Soul on June 20th on the summer solstice, right? The longest day of the year, maximum sun. And when you're talking about the occult, you're talking about the arts of astrology. It's the oldest occult science. And there's a lot of ways you can look at this. One basic fundamental understanding is as above, so below. The idea that if you track the stars and the planets and the cosmos, you can use that information to conduct or orchestrate events on Earth. Because the two run in parallel in some ways, energetically. So when she releases the single on the day where there's maximum sun from the summer solstice, this relates it to a lot of ideas of the early understandings of God. Because the ancient pagan cultures worshiped the sun. That's what all your obelisks symbolize. The obelisk is the great stone phallus. And the phallus achieves full erectile power at high noon when the sun is at maximum power. That is when you're at the full erection of the phallus. And if you want to look at the zodiac, the sun is the foundation of the whole zodiac. It's based upon the planet's movements around the sun. And if you want to get into the alchemical ideas, the hermetic belief system that is one of the foundations of Western esotericism, alchemy comes from Hermes Trismegistus. That's the thrice great. That's the Thoth in the ancient Egyptian pantheon of gods. Well, this alien god came down and told the early Egyptians all these rules or ideas or philosophies or practices of God. And they annotated this on the Emerald Tablets. That's what he gave them, was the Emerald Tablet. That's why they call alchemy the Hermetic Art. And they believed that the whole idea of alchemy was the operation of soul or the sun. And they believed that the sun was conducting the Philosopher's Stone, which is, and look, if I'm getting too deep, don't worry, we're going to dumb it down again. The Philosopher's Stone is the transmutation, okay? The transmutation of metals, taking a base metal and turning it into gold, purifying the human spirit from lowly man full of sin to God. It's all the same operation. They believed that the sun conducted the operation. Back in the time of, we're talking thousands of years ago, they took the ideas of Aristotle's theories about the sun, when the sun would go and die and sort of at dusk, it would go underground. It would, they believed that the sun was doing operations under the earth to create gold where they would find it, right? But the takeaway is that Beyonce is incorporating the alchemical symbolism of turning lead into gold, purifying the spirit. She is ascending to become God. This is a tired old trope from Beyonce. I've talked about it many times on many shows. So if you've been with me this whole time, we're not gonna beat that dead horse. And again, I'll put the links of a lot of the older episodes where you can dig into this if you really like it. Now, her new single is from a new album, obviously. The new album drops on July 29th. That album is called Renaissance. And in celebration of that album, she did a full spread in Vogue. She was on the cover. She had a lot of photos in there. And as expected, lots of symbolism. And as expected, your boy put all this... I'm going to put all the photos on my Instagram. Instagram.com/IsaacWiseUp. Link in the show notes. Like and subscribe. That's my counterpart, is the Instagram, where I release the images that I'm talking about. So if you listen to the podcast, you got to follow the Instagram. Now, the cover of the Vogue magazine, where she is featured, has her wearing all black while she's sitting on a red horse. All right. And the title is of the article is Be Ready, Beyonce is Poised for Her Next Evolution. Giving away the idea of what's happening here. She is evolving, all right? And of course, it goes without saying that red and black are primary colors of Saturn. And Saturn plays a role in all of these occult practices for so many reasons. This is a massive topic, a massive rabbit hole, if you will. If you look at the Saturn Gnostics, they were practicing sex magic and they studied astrology and the alignment of the stars. With the idea that you could, again, same concept, on Earth, the as above, so below, on Earth, they would emulate the positioning of the stars and the alignment of the planets in order to harness energy based upon the location in the cosmos. Because they thought they could use the energies interchangeably. And... you know, that's kind of what we talked about, the same idea of the astrology and the importance of dropping the single on the summer solstice. Well, Saturn alchemically is the material of lead. And when we talk about purifying one's soul and becoming closer to God, it's about transmuting the lead into gold, transmuting Saturn into the sun. So that's what Beyonce is doing on a ritualistic mass scale with this new album rollout, according to my theory. I don't know that it's true. She didn't tell me this personally. But if you look at all the symbolism and the ideas and the understandings, it begins to make sense. It's at least a plausible theory. I will give you that, right? And in fact, one of the photos in her Vogue spread shows her in the Saturnian worship pose. She's got Saturn earrings, which we saw from Doja Cat at the BBMAs not too long ago. And she's wearing a headdress of the rings of Saturn. And again, you got to see the images on my Instagram to know what I'm talking about here. And it immediately reminded me of Michael Jackson's posthumous album, Escape, where he was trying to escape the Matrix, the Saturn Moon Matrix. And we're going to hit that in the conclusion. The Saturn Moon Matrix plays a part in this. Now, if you have any doubts in this Saturnian symbolism of all of this, her album, Renaissance, she released the... they made it public that the first single, Break My Soul, is track number 6. They didn't release any other track names. I think they said there was going to be, you know, 15 tracks or whatever. I don't remember the number, but they clearly showed us Break My Soul is the 6th track on the album. Now, Saturn equates to 6. It's the 6th planet from the sun. Now, another photo shows her wearing this headdress of white feathers. Now, I looked into this because I was like, well, that's kind of interesting, white feathers. And it turns out they're bleached peacock feathers, which again ties us into alchemy. I said, oh my gosh, they're with the peacock, right? And this is actually, you're going to say I'm crazy, but people have said I'm crazy for many years, and that's okay. You don't have to believe what I believe in. And I actually found a different article in Vogue that talked about the process. And it's very important because if we consider this theory I'm floating here, that she's going through an alchemical process, a public ritualistic initiation into godhood. The peacock tail is a stage in alchemy between the blackening, the negredo, that's the first step, and the third step, the albedo or the whitening. All right. In fact, let me just read to you from Robert Bartlett's Real Alchemy. The sealed vessel is now set to digest at about 40 to 50 degrees Celsius. After about 3 months at this heat, the matter will begin to darken and finally turn black. This is the so-called negredo or black stage. Once the matter is entirely black, gently raise the heat to about 60 to 65 Celsius and continue the digestion. After 2 to 3 months, the matter will acquire an iridescence at the source with colors reminiscent of a peacock's tail, which is what the Adepts called this stage. Right? Remember I was talking about, you got the first stage, the blackening, the negredo, then you got the albedo, the whitening. Well, the peacock's tail is in between the two. As the digestion continues, the matter will gradually become lighter, marking the beginning of the albedo stage or the whitening. And that's exactly what we see when they talked about the article goes into this detail about how this fashion designer bleached out the peacock feathers to put on Beyonce's headdress. Why would they do that? A peacock feather is surely prettier than a white feather, a bleached out feather. It's because I think they're aligning, they're using the alchemical sciences and astrology, they're trying to emulate the movement of the cosmos down on Earth interchangeably to purify her soul, to allow her to become a goddess. In fact, you could refer to another book on alchemy called The Complete Idiot's Guide to Alchemy, and you'll hear about the peacock tail stage. And this one's actually a bit more on the nose as to what Beyonce is doing here, I think. The alchemist believed putrefaction was a final cleansing of impurities in the work, and sometimes referred to it as the purgation of the stone. Putrefaction was considered a final death to any contaminants or remnants of ego in the matter, and it was a necessary prelude to resurrection or rebirth of the matter on a more perfect spiritual level. Now, this is very important. If you go back to the original Vogue article, talking about the evolution of Beyonce, where we find out that the article is nothing short of a poem to the goddess. An ode to Beyonce, the queen bee. You know, they love all these mainstream media sources and sort of, the social construct, the social norm. They're very clearly putting her on this pedestal. They've been doing it for years, a long time. This is nothing new. And it's no different than what you would see in ancient Rome with poets submitting their ode to the pantheon of gods and goddesses. I'm going to read to you from the article. I can't help thinking how all those walls we perceive Beyonce putting up don't exist to facilitate ego. Quite the contrary. They exist so she can let it all go. My earth, my heart, my soul, and my sanity is how she refers to her innermost unit, and a great deal of projection goes into allowing her to experience her pocket of the world as calmly as possible. Perhaps it took her a while to get to this point. Either way, the energy shift is beautiful to behold. This is a precious time in her life. Now 40, she's feeling so good as a mother, an artist, and a woman. I mean, these people are insane. The cult of Beyonce has lost their mind. But, whatever. She, I mean, they said at the beginning, these walls basically exist so she can let it all go, to let her ego go, which is the initiation process for man to become God. And she's incorporating the symbolism of Saturn and the stages of alchemy to do so. And let's note that they are saying her evolution, her energy shift, in their words, the energy shift is about letting go of the ego. This is suppression of the ego. She's so woke. They can't even handle it over there at Vogue. She's so woke. She's the wokest of wokers. So you've got all this symbolism clearly laid out, without a doubt. Now, surprisingly, when you look at the lyrics to the song, and the video's not out yet as of this recording, I'll be surprised to see what the video shows us. Symbolism of Saturn, definitely. But if you look at the lyrics, it tells a whole different story. And this is where the corporate interests come into play. That's why Vogue is, and all these mainstream media sources are so in love with Beyonce, because she is a puppet for the big agenda, the Great Reset. And it's very insidious, much like the Great Reset itself, which actually posits a lot of good ideas. The problem lies when Klaus Schwab says, oh, we got to do all this stuff for a better world and blah, blah, blah. But then he's like, and in order to do that, you should just let the World Economic Forum divvy out and monitor what you do and what you use. The thousand richest corporations that put us in this problem, they're going to be the ones to fix it and remedy it and make sure everyone does the right thing, you know. So it's kind of insidious. Listen to these lyrics, because it's actually about abandoning the capitalistic hustle culture. She says, now I just fell in love and I just quit my job. I'm going to find new drive. Damn, they work me so hard. Work by 9, then off past 5, and they work my nerves. That's why I cannot sleep at night. And it goes on to talk about finding her own foundation, which is a Freemasonic kind of idea with a foundation stone. Finding her own salvation, you know, breaking from religion. She's going to find her own God, which is her. She says, release your anger, release your mind, release your job, release the time, release your trade, release the stress, release the love, forget the rest. So in some ways, the messaging is saying, break free from the corporate, you know, social construct. You don't have to work 9 to 5 anymore. For the man. A slave to the man. Which I'm actually cool with all that. However, let's be realistic here. A person like Beyonce, she's loaded. She's fine. She doesn't need to work. I think it's misleading and dangerous even to tell people that quitting their job is the best thing they can do. And, oh, you got to release all the stress. Because the reality is, it's just going to introduce new stress. And it's part of a larger trend on social media happening right now to embrace the Great Resignation, which I see a lot on TikTok, ironically. You can go ahead and apply the previous argument I had about propaganda from the mainstream media. Well, that's all social media does, especially TikTok. TikTok's like the kings of this. They push so much messaging and corporate endorsements that are baked into these things that they don't seem like it. You know what I mean? Like when you see a viral video and you see the advertisement in there, you're like, wait a minute. Sure enough, it's an insidious advertisement. Much like Halsey was talking about not too long ago, how her record label was like, you got to release a viral video. We got to do this. And several artists have come forward and said, look, I'm not doing that. But the record label was like, no, this is how we sell records. You have to make a viral video, make a dance, whatever. Everything is a sales pitch on all social medias. TikTok's like the kings of it, though. Not to say there's not valuable information on there. It's just a matter of, like, for instance, I've got a TikTok, and at the beginning, they let a couple go viral. And I was like, wow, this is great. But for the last year, 30 videos maybe, I'm limited to like 100 views, and you know, they just won't let it go. But the youth, they've decided, the younger generation, they've decided they don't want to sign up for this social construct. And who can blame them, right? They don't want to work for the man anymore. They don't want to, all this hustle bro culture of, yeah, man, you got to get up at 3 a.m, work your side hustle till 6, then go to your job, then you get off, then you go back to your side hustle. It's like, dude, we already work a lot. This is America. Like, this is a hard working country. Like, we already devalue relationships and focusing on what really matters, and they want to drive it home further because this ultimately benefits the corporations. And one phrase you'll find when you get into all this is that, and this is what like the youth of America subscribe to, is that there's no such thing as a dream job because, you know, we heard this growing up, a lot of older folks, get into your dream job. And they say, look, there's no such thing because I don't dream of working. I don't dream of labor. And in a way, it's an awakening of the capitalistic exploitation system because that's what capitalism is. It's exploitation. But again, like I always say, I don't know that there's a better system out there. But I'm not under this delusion that everything is peachy and great and perfect. Like there's a lot of screwed up things with capitalism. Now, particularly this idea of questioning capitalism and the Great Resignation and the youth telling the corporate America to stick it is in jobs where the workers are underpaid, overworked, underappreciated, which I would argue might have sparked from the pandemic when they were told, oh, you know what, everyone else can chill at home. You got to come into work. You're an essential worker. You can be exposed to this deadly unknown virus at the time, right? This deadly virus and work extra hours because you got to keep the machine rolling. And they spend a lot of time thinking about it, like, man, I'm risking my life and I don't even get a raise and I got to work extra hours. Meanwhile, you know, middle-class wasps like me were just cozy teleworking in their little home office. So in a way, all the stuff Beyonce's saying, like, I'm down for all this, right? I'm down for it. Like, I'm a borderline anarchist in some ways, sometimes. And I've been working a steady job since I was 13. 13. I've never had a break in employment. So I have mixed feelings on all this, right? Because I do believe that working hard and the capitalist system does provide a really good way of life. But I also think there's a lot of BS involved and a lot of, a lot of people are so pro-capitalist that they're anti-union. I'm like, no, like the unions are great. That's why we're limited to 40 hours a week here. If it wasn't for that, we'd be working way more. Because it's a slave master system with corporate America. And the elites, right? The 1% want us working our asses off for them. And look, I'm one of those people. I've got 8 years of college. I was in the military. I paid for most of my college with GI Bill. It was $150,000 worth of college. I'm one of those people. I'm still paying school loans. And you know what the kicker is? I went to school for all this engineering, and then I'm just podcasting about conspiracy theories anyway. Didn't matter. But it did. You know, it actually rounded my mind out and taught me how to research in a way. But anyway, capitalism has changed drastically over the years. And like the boomer generations and the older folks, they have this undying devotion to capitalism and allegiance to their workplace and allegiance to their boss. But things are different now. And a lot of older folks are still brainwashed into the way things were in the 50s. Like, oh no, you gotta be respectable and, you know, all this stuff. And the capitalist structure has screwed over the common worker so much that it's finally, kind of like open the floodgates where the youth are like seeing through the BS and they're like, no, this is crap, you know? Because back in the 50s, a single income house, you know, could buy the home and the cars and take the kids to college. And you can't do that anymore because everyone got greedy. The corporations don't want to pay a raise in minimum wage. In fact, I've got some information because I know like a lot of this is getting opinionated here, a lot of opinion basis, and I try to keep it factual. So I'm grabbing a fact just to back up my point. The median home price in 1950 was $7,000. $7,000. And I know you're probably thinking, well, Isaac, that was 70 years ago, bro. Add some inflation into that number. Okay, I'll do that for you. $71,000. So a home in 1950 was $7,000, and with inflation that comes out to $71,000. And granted, I will give you this, the houses were smaller back then. We lived on a lot less. But a median house today is definitely far higher than $71,000. So in a way, I actually embrace a lot of these ideas of the Great Resignation. But I'm not going to be the guy who tells people, oh, you should quit working altogether. Just live your life. You know, they make it look like, oh, you know, you should go live in a tiny home. Oh, you should go live in your van and just travel. You got the freedom to travel. Like, yeah, except traveling costs money too. Gas is expensive. Food is expensive. Like, it's kind of crazy thinking. And on top of that, I'm like, I like my little luxuries. You know what I mean? I got to have my air conditioning. I got to have my HBO. I mean, is that what's important in life? No. So it's tough. I kind of see both sides of this argument. Plus, it's a balance, right? Because what Beyonce is saying is, oh, everyone should just quit their job. It's crazy. And it's like, yeah, I get that. Yeah, like, they should pay more and we should sort of straighten out the system so that the top 1% doesn't keep taking all the wealth of the country. But there's also, you have to understand, there's a balance of who you want to take your orders from. You've got, on the one side, you've got corporate America owning you for 40 hours a week versus Uncle Sam owning you 24/7. And like, which one do you want to give your power to? So for me, like, I'd rather go with corporate America and capitalism ultimately. Because if you rely on Uncle Sam to provide for you, it comes with some pretty serious strings. You're basically getting the, what do you call it? The devil's triangle. So pick your favorite side and lean in. Anyway, back to Beyonce. She is, I'm without a doubt, and I have no facts to prove this. This is based on my theories and thoughts, opinion based. She's being used to orchestrate support for this movement. Because you got to question the richest people in the world who repeat the same message. Oh, money can't buy you happiness. Oh, really, Beyonce? Let's take a look at how much money you have. Let's take a look at your mansion. Oh, yeah, yeah. Tell everyone to quit working. Is that what you're doing? Do you quit working? What I think is happening is that they're trying to make us feel comfortable having less. That's what Beyonce's saying right now. Oh, the best things in life are free. Yeah. Like a cardboard house under the freeway. That's free, right? And if you're still not picking up what I'm putting down here, there's a thing called the Great Reset. I've done at least 6 shows on it now. Part 1 was back in December 2020. I'll put a link in the show notes. And a lot of this stems from the World Economic Forum. And Klaus Schwab is the architect of the Great Reset. He's the guy who runs the World Economic Forum. And he had a phrase that a lot of truthers picked up on and perpetuated. His phrase was, "You'll own nothing and be happy." Which sounds preposterous in America here with this capitalist system. Because we're all about, you know, if you look at George Carlin's stand-up bits, he talks about this. He's like, all we're being trained to do is to work harder, to accumulate more crap, buy a bigger home to put all your crap in, right? So there's a balance to be had here. I'm certainly not advocating to, be a minimalist. I'm certainly not advocating to live in excess. Like, there's somewhere in the middle. And and on my 7 shows about the Great Reset, 6 or 7, the basis of that talking point of you'll own nothing and be happy actually wasn't in his 2 books that I did book clubs on for the Great Reset series. It was actually from a 2016 document called the 8 Talking Points of the Future World They Predict in 2030. And they took ideas from the World Economic Forum, had these groups called the Global Future Councils. and they asked the Global Future Council, they said, what's your opinion on what 2030 is going to look like? Basically, it's a think tank, right? And the conspiracy is like all these think tanks and thoughts and ideas end up happening in reality. Like that's what they start trying to achieve. I'm going to read you right from the document. The first point in 2030, okay, all products will have become services. Quote, I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes, writes Danish MP Ida Auken. Shopping is a distant memory in the city of 2030, where inhabitants have cracked clean energy and borrow what they need on demand. It sounds utopian until she mentions that her every move is tracked. And outside the city lives swaths of discontents, the ultimate depiction of a society split in two. And they're talking about like subscription economy, which is kind of where we're headed with entertainment, right? With music. Like I pay a monthly subscription fee to stream all the music, but I don't own any of the albums. And that's okay, right? But that's kind of where they want to take housing and clothes and everything. And iPhone even tried this kind of thing, right? With the, you just pay a monthly fee and you just upgrade your phone whenever you want. Not a terrible idea sometimes, right? But they do, they are aware that there's two different societies in that future. People that will reject it. So these are ideas we got to start thinking about. Because now that Beyonce is pushing it in her music, we know that it's headed down that way. Now, in conclusion, let's wrap it up with another quick look at this. In conclusion, the Saturn symbolism was heavy on this rollout. And I looked up the astrology for July 29th, 2022, and nothing jumped out at me because that's when her album Renaissance is supposed to drop. And I thought, well, maybe there's, you know, the single drops on the summer solstice, the album drops on another important day in astrology. And nothing jumped out at me for July 29th. But July 22nd is important for Saturn. So, because they say Saturn will be in transit, it will transit on that day. There's 2 days that it'll transit, whatever that. And look, I'm no expert on astrology. I don't really know what that means. So what if the album ends up getting advanced 1 week to July 22nd instead of the 29th? I think that might happen. Illuminate confirming Beyonce. And now Saturn, we talked a little bit about the Saturn moon matrix. And this is a David Icke theory. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But first, let me reference one more talking point from Vogue. Because her album will be dropping with metaverse technology. From Vogue, it says, Beyonce invented the visual album with Beyonce, although arguably she did so even earlier with her 2006 album B-Day, for which she released a DVD with videos for all 13 tracks. 13 Witches in a Coven, by the way, unrelated. It looks like this time her sights are set on pioneering new musical experiences through virtual reality. She is reported to be working with the Jay-Z-backed Spatial Labs, which builds technology for the metaverse, and The Wave, which creates live, interactive, and immersive musical experience. And this backs up the whole point. Beyonce and Jay-Z have moved on from being musicians. They're business people now. Right, their time is too valuable to spend it recording music. So why would she release another album? Because I think there's a larger agenda at play here, and it's the transhuman agenda, along with the Great Reset agenda, along with her initiation into the great work of alchemy as she uses the energies of astrology to try to purify her soul to become more like God. And when we talk about the Saturn Moon Matrix, if you don't know what the Saturn Moon Matrix is, it's a virtual reality, just like they're saying is going to happen here. It's a virtual reality, and it's sort of because like if you look at virtual reality, like the one Beyonce is going to use, that's a micro version of the Saturn Moon Matrix, which is a macro version of the Saturn Moon, of the virtual reality. As above, so below. Okay, that's what she's doing here. Now, David Icke, his theory says that Saturn has these rings and they send out frequencies. The moon picks up those frequencies and transmits it down to Earth. And our bodies pick it up through our DNA, which is the antenna. They pick up the signal and help create this false reality. And this is, of course, a Gnostic idea of a simulation world. But nonetheless, we see Beyoncé on this album already showing us Saturn symbolism, astrologically timing her album release, giving us ritualistic elements of ego death and rebirth. And all of this plays a role. Saturn's secrets have been passed through these secret societies. And when you see the symbolism of Kronos or Father Time, the Grim Reaper with the sickle, that's Saturn. Saturn is the force that created time, measurements, quantization, and death, ultimately, introduced death. And in my Great Reset series, we discuss the Fourth Industrial Revolution, one of the books that Klaus Schwab wrote. And guess what that Fourth Industrial Revolution tells us? The future will be about virtual and augmented reality and basically putting us into the metaverse, which is what Beyoncé will also be advertising. She's satisfying a lot of goals of the occult and the Illuminati on this album, ticking them off. Boom, boom, boom. So there you go. A lot happening there. Now, I wrote a little ebook about Beyoncé with a lot of images supporting my theory about Beyoncé. And it's $6.99, but I'm going to give it to you for free. But it's limited to the first 1,000 people, so you got to hurry up. Don't mess around with this now. And you can only get that discount code applied at my Gumroad store. If you buy it on Amazon, you're on your own. So if you go to gumroad.com, like bubblegum, right? Gumroad.com/IsaacW. Scroll through my product catalog. Scroll past all those great signed books I offer you. Go past all those great, super soft, beautiful t-shirts. Ironically, my inventory is very low right now on the t-shirts. So if you want to, you can go to my Gumroad store at the top. I believe it's the top right. They'll have a subscribe. Put in your email address, and that should update you when I get inventories back in. Or just follow me on the socials. I'll talk about it. But go to gumroad.com/IsaacW. Scroll down. Find my Is Beyoncé in the Illuminati ebook. There's a promo code, and the promo code you want to type in is Saturn. Could be all caps. Could be all lowercase. Doesn't matter. And you're going to get Is Beyoncé in the Illuminati for free. I don't think it even makes you put a credit card number in. Great deal, right? But I'm limited to the first 1,000 people. And after that, you're on your own. We got three action items for you to sum it up. Go to my Instagram, instagram.com/IsaacWeishaupt. Check out all the images I'm talking about with Saturn and Beyoncé. And also, take a look at the comments. Guaranteed there's going to be Beyoncé Beyhive bull crap in there. Oh, Beyoncé wouldn't do that. Okay, yeah, she totally cares about you. You got it, buddy. So that's number one, Instagram. Number two, get a free copy of the ebook, Is Beyoncé in the Illuminati? Using promo code Saturn, limited to the first 1,000 customers, gumroad.com/IsaacW. Number three, check out my back catalog of Beyoncé shows. For years and years and years, I've talked about her. In fact, my most recent show, which was August 2020, I believe, we covered Black as King, her Disney alien fallen angel thing. That one's really good. It's probably the best one. It went really deep on the esoteric connections of Beyoncé to Aleister Crowley and Freemasonry and all this crazy stuff that you'd think, no way is Beyoncé involved in all that. Well, the symbolism suggests otherwise. So there you go. Three action items. Links are all in the show notes. Till next time, stay woke.